Also, I don't see Amy, so I'll just go ahead and say we've got a couple announcements to make regarding our project in this last month we were, there you are. I was going to have you share, but I'm in the middle, that's okay. Okay, thanks. Yeah, gotcha, no problem. We're supposed to meet this coming Tuesday. The zoning board approved our request to rezone the area at 1120 East Capitol, but it still has to go before the city council. And our alderman looked at the presentation and says he's all for it, and he would like to present it to the city council, but he's going to be on vacation this week, so he can't present it at the council. And at first, we thought, well, we'd have somebody else do it, but after advice from several people who know better, they said, no, let your alderman present it, because if he presents it, everybody will say, we're in, okay? And so that part is good. Secondly, we have our neighbor, Mark, who owns the, he's a landlord of the building next to, has given us a verbal agreement to purchase the apartment building. And so we don't have to go through all the hassle of going to a realtor and whatnot. And we had some people who knew what they were talking about give us a fair estimate on what the building would be worth on the market. And really we got, you know, we basically got that out of it. And so that's kind of something to rejoice, because what that basically means is the down payment for the property is mostly going to be met now, and that's one of the things the bank asked. So that's falling into place without a whole lot of effort, really hardly any. And then we also received this week, and I don't know if we have them. You probably didn't get the new. We got a new rendering. Greg is dashing off to get the. He'll be hanging up over there. Those two were the first two renderings that the architect gave us, and basically he combined some of the elements and made a third one. So we got that from him today. And we just want to give everybody an update that the Lord is blessing in a great way, and we're thankful for that. And so the new picture we'll put over there and take the old ones down. There we go, and then you can look at those. Yes, yes. The apartment building is... we haven't closed on it yet, but yeah. So, and Mark is a really good friend. He's you know, all just, you know, assuring us that there'll be no, you know, no issues. He's just super great neighbor. So we're thankful for that. So keep us in prayer, because we'll now be going before the city council on the 21st of July, and we just want to make sure that you know, we're prayed up and ready to go for that. Speaking of prayer, let's just one more time. Father, we just ask for your mercy and your grace, your presence, your direction here today. God, there's just a great opportunity for us each and every day to hear and obey, and we're asking today, God, that we wouldn't miss that opportunity today, God. And so we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been doing a series here in a different way, an unusual way for some of you that are visiting. And that is, we've been doing a series on hearing the voice of the Lord. And we've been doing it, I've asked people, several people over the course of time, to give their top one or two, three key things, that how they position themselves or how they recognize the voice of the Lord. And we found this in Deuteronomy 8:3, which is what we call in the church a pillar of truth, something that other things attach to. And this pillar of truth is where many of you heard the story how the children of Israel were in the desert, and God provided for them a supernaturally food. And but in this time, God lets them know something that many of you have heard over the years, and it is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that God's intention was that we learn how to be sustained by him, that we understand according to Scripture. Scripture says that the Word of God holds everything together, that everything that was made by his Word and is held together by his Word. And so the advent of Jesus coming to the scene, he's referred to as the living Word. And that we don't simply, because many times people think one-dimensionally, and we believe the Word of God is inerrant. We believe the Word of God is the ultimate authority. But the Word of God also tells us that God's voice is also necessary. Okay, that there's certain decisions that we have to make that we can't find. Who do I marry? Okay. I got an amen back there from that one. Okay. You know, what do I buy this house? Okay. What job do I? Okay. It tells you how to hear God's voice, but there are responsibilities we have on how to hear and what God's voice is saying. And you know, I've heard it said, and I believe this, that for those that are growing in the Lord, I'll take a verse over a voice, okay? But I won't discount a voice if it's confirmed by the verse. And that's one of those things that we have to, it's not one or the other, it's both. And so we learn how to hear from God so that we can obey. And I over and over again, I find myself going, wow, usually it's after I realize that that was God speaking to me and I thought it wasn't. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but you go, I'm supposed to be doing something and I didn't do it. And then later you go, man, I knew that was the Lord telling me to do that. And I didn't get that. Now I got some grins now because, you know, yeah, that happened to me this morning, yesterday, this week. And you go, but the nature of what we are in isn't a set of rules or regulations or a religion. That's the whole point, is that the nature of what we're in is in a relationship. And the life that we share is the same life that the Father and Son share. Jesus said it in so many words when he said, Father, those you have given to me, this is John 15, 16, and 17. He said, I've given them your glory. And he said, and my intent was, God, just the way that you love them, or love me, I have loved them. The same quality of life and love that we share is now that same quality of life that they have access to. And if you look into that, what the full inference is that there's an ongoing relationship between the Father and the Son. That in the Trinity, the Father and the Son is the depiction, and that is why when we're grafted in as believers, that is when we're saved, when we give our lives to the Lord, it says that we have been granted sonship, okay? And he's the firstborn among many brethren because we get to share in the same quality of interaction that they have. Now, that's boggling many minds when people think that, because most oftentimes religion sets up a priest to hear God for us, and then what he tells us to do, we follow after. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? There's somebody who hears for us, and that's a whole lot easier. But the relationship that God has for us is that now we've all been given the Spirit of God so that we can hear his voice. And Jesus said it multiple times, but often you hear it, he did it in the analogous way of saying, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say, my sheep follow my rules. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they won't follow. So acclimating ourselves, just the very first hurdle is, can I hear God's voice? And so oftentimes that picture, it gets distorted because many in the religious scene say, that's dangerous. Oh, that's so dangerous, trying to hear God's voice. Let's just stick to something that's concrete. I'm telling you, there's nothing more concrete than God's voice. Okay? It's just the fact that it is subjective and it has to be tested. And so oftentimes we're afraid that we might miss it. But guess what? That's what the process of maturity actually looks like. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. We shouldn't be afraid of saying, but we practice something in our house, you know, after years of failure, going, I was wrong. That's the practice, okay? In case you're wondering, I was wrong. okay. But it's so freeing because no longer are you put under a perfection performance, but it's like we're endeavoring to hear and obey God. And I think God is pleased when we actually are in the attempt, even if we miss it. You know, it's like what, Father, you know, it's like your children. And they go, you know, you come in and you go, what is this mess here, you know? And the kids go, we were making a cake, you know? And it's like there's eggs on the walls and flour on the floor. And it's like, well, that isn't exactly how it's done, but I'm really happy that you're trying to make me a cake. I had them, are they in here? They're not. My grandkids made me the ugliest birthday cake I've ever seen. But it was beautiful. Okay. You remember Andrew's laughing about it. He goes, yeah. Yeah, grapes and gummy bears. And it looked awful. But you were so happy because, hey, you're trying to bless the one you love. And so when you're trying to hear the Father's voice, he's not stoic sitting back going, I'm not wanting to talk to you. He's not that way. He's like, I want to have a conversation with you. And I want you to believe that you can hear me and obey me. Okay, so we're going to try to do this. Dan shared last week, and he said, I want to bring a conclusion to something. And I said, okay, do that, because Andrea is going to share how she hears the voice, or something about, I don't know exactly what she's going to say, but I told Dan, go ahead and I didn't bring my duct tape. You're on the clock, though.
Okay. I told Scott, I said, I'm going to try to summarize what I said last week to a conclusion, but I wanted him to duct tape me to the chair so I wouldn't wander around. You know, my premise was that in the book of John, where John says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard. That is a key verse in my mind about my own learning to hear God. I also talked about the idea of having tinnitus naturally, where you have this ringing, this noise in your ear. And what I'm finding, what I believe, is that the ability to hear properly and clearly is, one, removing the noise, learning the difference between your spirit, between God's spirit, between your thoughts, and between the enemy who's constantly trying to put thoughts and ideas in your head contrary to what God wants, even though they sound sometimes like they're you thinking, the discerning between those things helps you to become clear in what you're hearing. Now, part of the answer to the noise problem is filling yourself with things like, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose every thought is having taken control of every thought that comes into you. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Pray without ceasing. Do you understand that you can actually bring noise into your life? Yeah. How many of you have ever played a song on the radio and you just can't get it out of your head? Yeah. You know? Okay. It's called surplanting. And I have a list of about 40 areas in your life that need to be surplanted with his ideas instead of mine, with his thoughts instead of mine. And one of the ways I cure the noise problem and try to dumb down the noise is to get loud myself in worship. Not listening to it, but actually singing it, causing adoration in my own heart to the place where I begin to hollow his name in such a way that all the other voices are stilled. Okay? And then that right there is a place of, okay, now wait there, be still, so that you can actually know his voice. Okay? That's that one. And then I was talking about, you know, where it says, in the, you know, I was in the spirit. Sometimes we think that that's spooky. This is what I said last week, but it's not. You know, the imperative of Jesus in the last week of his life was that the disciples would actually wait after the resurrection until they receive power on high by receiving into them the Spirit who was then with them. There was a difference of having the Spirit come into you. Paul's imperative was this. Paul's imperative was, now that you have received the Spirit, now I want you to drink of the Spirit. Drink in such a way, almost like a drunk being overzealous for the amount of alcohol he consumed, to the point where the Spirit begins to, you become under the influence of the Holy Spirit the way a drunk would come under the influence of alcohol. Okay, so and it's not just supposed to be, you know, once a week on Sunday, and it's not just speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit is someone who has been given as a comforter. You know, he's not just somebody that helps you pray, but he's somebody that comforts you. There's a relationship developed in a way that the whole arena of who the Holy Spirit is to us, that he takes words and he brings them to you and he makes them known to you, that he comforts you. He's supposed to be a leader and a guider into all truth. And so as we pursue this relationship in this quiet place of the Holy Spirit, what happens is that he begins to influence us, and if we continue to go there, he will be more of an influence in us than ourselves, and we can then say, it's no longer I that live, but Christ, the anointing. Okay, that's what he's after. But he's not just after that, because after you're close to him, after you calm the noise and you get close to somebody, you can hear them easily. Now, I don't know how Hosea heard to marry a prostitute by reading scriptures. I just don't. He didn't. But when God wanted to talk to Israel about their betrayal, their heart being prostituted to him, he had Hosea marry a prostitute for a symbol. God speaks in all kinds of ways. So as we give ourselves and we come under the influence, and as we hear, the next thought is, if you live in the Spirit, which is where you are when you come under the influence, then you must learn to walk in the Spirit, which means you have to obey what you hear.
I'm glad you had to get that out. That's good. Okay. Andrea. No, that's fine. You're just fine. You, this girl here, I was in her very early days. She was hearing God in such a profound way, it freaked her out. I remember you were at work, and you couldn't believe that those things that God was speaking to you, and you people around you were saying things that the Lord had already said to you. So I think you'll be fine.
When Scott asked me to speak, I did write down a few things. I missed the part about only two or three points, so I promise I'll try not to stay too long. But I want to start by saying that, you know, I was 25 when I gave the Lord my whole yes. So for 25 years, I listened to a lot of human voices, a lot of my own voice, probably a lot of the enemy. And those are really deeply entrenched mindsets that I haven't been walking with the Lord now in equal measure to those number of years, because I'm not 50 quite yet. But it's a process for me. For me, it's some of the things he spoke most clearly were in my early days of being born again. And sometimes now it's a little more difficult. Other times it's still totally clear. So it's a process. And I don't have a magic formula. And I'm sure I've missed his voice as much as I've heard his voice clearly. And the audibleness of his voice, you know, I don't know that I could ever really say I actually have audibly with my flesh and blood ears heard there are times my heart has heard very directly, and there's no mistaking. So something I learned really early on is that for me to know whether or not I'm hearing the voice of the Lord, I have to know who he is. And it actually was teaching Sunday school way, way back when Dylan McDonald was little and crawling under the table in the room I was teaching in, that he put it on my heart to teach those kids, and I think he taught me simultaneously. You know, if I got a letter in the mail that was signed by my husband and looked even like his handwriting but said all kinds of atrocious, mean, terrible things to me, I would know that wasn't from my husband. Because I know him, and I know his heart for me, and I know he wouldn't send me something like that. And I really think that's one of the early things the Lord taught me about hearing his voice. I have to know him and know how he feels about me and really be firm on what he would or would not say to me to help myself distinguish the voices, because there are a lot of voices, a lot of noise, as Dan said. So I really cling to that principle. If the sentiment behind what I think I'm hearing doesn't match up with how I know the Lord feels about me, I'm not going to take that as him. I don't know what the source might be. Might be me, the enemy, other people, whatever, but I'm not taking it as him. The other thing the Lord's been really good about with me in my life is kind of a three-phase speaking to me. I think he always tries to speak to me directly first, and sometimes I hear it and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I hear it and I ignore it. And phase two is people, really wonderful people the Lord's brought into my life, and they'll say something that, you know, I may or may not really know that I've already heard. And if I still choose not to listen, the third phase of that's usually consequences. Not from a mean-spirited God, but, you know, he's trying to tell me, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I don't think that's a good idea. That's not your best plan. First directly, second through people that I love and trust that know him as well, and then third is, you know, the teacher of consequences. And man, I have learned a lot of things the hard way. could have spared myself a lot of grief had I listened to phase one or phase two. The other thing is I'm acutely aware of my humanity and my imperfections, and so I don't try real hard to rely on my ability to hear him, but I try really hard to rely on his ability to be heard. And for me, that's been really critical, because I can get wrapped around the axle thinking, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know what I'm hearing, I don't know if I'm hearing from the Lord. And if I start focusing on my ability to hear, that anxiety only grows. So I really try to focus on who he is, and he is well able to speak loudly. If I'm willing to listen and I'm asking him to speak, he'll make sure I hear what he's saying. Another principle for me is, you know, the enemy is rude, and no matter what circumstance I'm in the middle of, he will barge right into my mental consciousness and start having a whole conversation with me, or a monologue. The Lord, however, he's a gentleman, and he's going to wait until I invite him into my conversation about a circumstance to speak. You know, sometimes he'll come in a little more firmly, but most of the time he says, just invite me in. All that barrage of noise, that's a rude enemy. That's not a gentleman God who says, when you ask me, you invite me into your circumstance and ask me questions, I will converse with you about it. So then I had just a few examples of some things that I've heard over the years that I thought were kind of the gamut of how good and how uncomfortable it can be for me to hear from the Lord. He definitely speaks to me about marriage, my relationship with Andy. One of the early things I heard in my days as a young wife was, you know, I was railing maybe to myself, maybe to the Lord about my selfish husband, and he was so selfish and he was so rude, and how could it be so selfish, you know? I'm sure you guys have never felt that way about your spouse, but that's how I was feeling about him. And very quietly I heard the Lord say, you only mind his selfishness when it gets in the way of yours. You know, and like, I mean, we've been together almost 20 years, and that was early in our marriage, but it goes into your heart, and then you know that moving forward. So I may complain about other things, but I don't complain about his selfishness anymore. With children, oh dear Lord, have I needed the voice of the Lord in raising our kids. From the time they were little through the teenage years, young adult years, I mean, I barely survived it with his voice. Couldn't have done it without him. And had a circumstance where I was sitting across the table from a young woman that was dating my son at the time, and I knew that she'd been unfaithful to him. I knew that. And he chose not to believe it, was still engaged with her. And I'm sitting across the table at a dinner I'm buying her, thinking, oh, the mama lion in me is in full force. And I'm smiling, but I'm thinking, any second, I'm going to tear your head off and leave you with the bill. But very directly, I heard the Lord say in the midst of my internal railing, you take care of my kids, I'll take care of yours. He cared so much for that girl. And she didn't know him, didn't know how much he loved her. That's why she made the choices she made. And I didn't say a word about it. I loved on her, bought the meal. We spent the day together. They ultimately broke up. My daughter-in-law now is fabulous. I love her. And hopefully somewhere down the line we'll find out that that made an impression on her, you know? So it's not always easy. An example out of work, because he definitely is involved in every area of life. Years ago, I was working for the state and wanted, obviously, to be promoted, wanted more money. You know, that was the goal when I was younger, just keep moving up the ladder. And there was a position that was open, and I had the seniority to get that position. And there was another woman that worked in our unit, had less seniority than me, but was kind of working in a different area. And the manager over the open position came to me and said, we really want to move her. We don't want to lose her. We know she doesn't like who she works for right now. If you bid, you're going to get that job, but we want you to not bid because we want to give it to her. I smelled my flesh burning on that one. I am not going to lie. That was not easy. But again, praying, I felt like the Lord said, you know, if you take this job that you're entitled to, I'll bless you because you're my child and I love you. But if you will be patient, I have something better. And, oh, it hurt. I'm not going to lie. It hurt to walk that out. But within 6 months, I was offered the position that opened the doors for me to ultimately be able to work from home and have, you know, just the job that I love. And again, it was, you know, not in condemnation. He would have loved me if I would have went ahead and made my own way. But he had a better path. Another thing in relationships with my dad was not around when I was growing up. Then he did pop in a few times when I was a teenager just to wreak havoc for a while. And I remember standing as a young adult at my kitchen sink, you know, telling the Lord, I just need to hear my dad say he's sorry. I just need to hear him say he's sorry for everything he did and everything he didn't do. And the Lord said to me very directly, if you need to hear him say it, it won't matter if he does. I want to bring you, sorry, this one still gets to me. I want to bring you through to such a place of healing that you're not dependent for that healing on what somebody else says or doesn't say. And, you know, ultimately, he did say it. But the funny thing was when he did, it really didn't matter. I mean, I had that healing. I had really heard the Lord and grabbed a hold of that healing. And then it was more, I think, for him than me when he did say it. I think that when the Lord speaks to me, it's an invitation, not an imposition. Very rarely do I hear him say, you must do this, you know, or even don't do this. Although if I'm about to dive off a cliff, I hope I hear don't do this. But it's more an invitation to think about something differently, to see things from his point of view, because I don't see the way he sees. And if I accept that invitation, there's real wisdom that he brings along with that. Amen. And freedom. That's the other thing. I think hearing the voice of the Lord, it's not constraining, you know, like maybe your parents were, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this. It's really freedom, because so much of what I've heard has released my heart from places I was harboring whatever. You know, you can fill in the blank. There's a lot. And then one of the other things that, you know, Scott, you mentioned, if you're trying to find out who should I marry and where should I work and where should we live and all those sorts of very specific things, and you go to the Lord over and over again, and you just don't feel like you're getting a straight answer, right? I've done that, and it's not written on a billboard somewhere what I'm supposed to do. But years ago, he used an example from my kids to really teach me about how sometimes he works with me in critical decisions. We live out in the country. My kids went to Pleasant Plains High School, and there were two routes that you can take from our house to the high school. You can go the back way, or you can go more the main roads. Well, in the wintertime, the back way doesn't get plowed. And so, you know, I told the kids when they first got their driver's license, every day through the winter, what are the roads like? What did it do last night? You know, take the front way, take the back way. Well, after a while, I didn't tell them that anymore, because they knew when it had snowed the night before, you take the front way. When the roads would be okay, you take the back way, because it was a little quicker on the back way. And the Lord really, I think, highlighted that circumstance to me and said, when I have taught you how I think about something, when I've spent years teaching you how I think about it, sometimes you're not going to get take the back way, take the front way. You're going to know both will get you there, but I've taught you enough through circumstances that you have inherent wisdom, because I've given you that, about which is better. And that has helped me a lot. You know, and I always pray forgiveness, Lord. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to do the right thing. If I head down the wrong path, you know, please don't smite me for it. And I trust he's big enough to be heard. So, bread from the oven, kind of as a closing thought. Many of you know I have a great job, wonderful job, love the company I work for. Last year and a half has been real hard. 4.5 years, tremendous growth, opportunities, promoted up through the ranks. Last year and a half, revenue stale. We went through a reorg about 3 weeks ago. My job, I got a phone call, my job's different now than it was. I wasn't asked if that was okay. I was just kind of told that's how it's going to be. And man, have I been struggling. I don't think there's an ounce of grace with which I've graced from him. Yes, my own personal grace in walking through it. And I'm pretty much kicking and screaming through this transition. But, you know, one of the things is Andy and I, we were offered and have a small amount of stock in the company. And so I kept railing with the Lord over, you know, well, this is our money now that's invested here. So I'm going to go and I'm going to tell him this and I'm going to tell him that and I'm going to tell him this. And my CEO has asked me to come up again tomorrow to have a conversation with him. And I'm thinking, you do not know what you asked for. I am so ready to tell you everything that I'm thinking right now. Right now, Andy's thinking, poor guy. You know, he's already praying for the CEO. He knows how that look goes. And then, you know, and it's like, but I have to do this because, you know, it's our money that's invested here, right? And the Lord said, yesterday he said to me, let's stop and think about this a little differently. What if I'm the stockholder in the company? Because you tell me it's all mine. You acknowledge that you're just stewarding what belongs to me. So if I'm the shareholder, trust me to speak and make things. And what a different perspective for me. What just like freedom, what fell off my heart when I heard that. It's not up to me. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to go up there, you know, because I can do that too. It's his. But without hearing his voice, I'd still be locked to that mindset and my stomach would still be turning and, you know, and I'd probably create hardship for myself and for other people that I work with. It's just that voice and that perspective that comes with it that says, let's think about this differently. And then my behavior, if I choose to accept it and embrace it and really internalize it, it changes me. And it changes me in a way of, that allows more freedom. So those were the thoughts that I had.
Yeah.
Okay. I know. That's good. Thank you. Okay. Questions for Dan or Andre, since the both of them have shared this morning. Thoughts, comments? We just want to make this open now to say, Dan, you can come up here too. That way your smiling face is seen. Yeah, Chris.
Prescription for loving God. It's a description of what happens when you do love God. And so, you know, I think that as I would never have known many of those things. And so when I do read the word, and then I meditate on that, it confirms certain voices. Like I'll just be reading a scripture, and then I would have no idea how that applies. But if I have a problem in my life, it's amazing how when you approach the scriptures with a problem, and then he gives you this verse, and then you get the application. And by that, I could have a different problem, and that thing would give me a whole different insight. So it's just amazing how these insights come. But you end up obeying the Lord, not even knowing it, because you didn't know the scripture. But because you love the Lord, you let your heart get changed, and then somehow you're obeying the scripture you didn't even know about.
I didn't say it out loud because obviously the Lord speaks to me through the word and through scripture too. I should have probably said that just so I didn't make it sound like I was discounting that way. It's just some of these other ways that are a little more nebulous for me.
Yeah. You know, position, I believe hearing from God is positioning your heart. You know, and if you can position your heart in a right way, you know, the Pharisees knew scriptures better than any of us here in this building. I mean, they'd had to memorize the Torah. They understood them, but when it came to having their heart positioned, it was far away from the Lord, you know. And I think that even though we all know that scripture can speak to you, it actually depends on, you know, your heart's position towards him and your relationship that you're developing with him. Any other questions?
When she was talking, I just saw this picture of, it was like I was sitting on my front porch and April's got all these flowers planted, and there's lots of bees that like those flowers. I'm like, okay, God, what in the world has that got to do with what she's talking about? That's why God said, well, perhaps the largest key to hearing God's voice and being led of the Holy Spirit is, just that childlike faith, that broken and contrite heart where I just want to do what God wants me to do. That's it, plain and simple. And that God's like the bee and we're the flower, and he's the nectar and the honey that draws him to us is that broken and contrite spirit to where we're just completely surrendered. God, you tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. Yeah. If you nudge me a little this way, you shut a door, I'll say, thank God for shutting that door. Yeah. Even if I thought my life depended going through that door. You know, because sometimes you're like, are you kidding me? And so, you know, that broken and the childlike faith to where I am completely convinced that God, his wisdom and direction of my life is perfect. There's not much in life that's perfect. His leading of our life is perfect. And it's like that bee going to the flower. It's like God's the bee. He comes to our heart because that just attracts him. And he gets to show off because he gets to do all this cool stuff in our lives. And so the honey is actually mutual. I feel like God said the honey, he loves that. And we are designed to love that. And it's like the sweetness of life is that childlike, you know, spirit to where we completely trust our Father. And if you notice, if you ever raised children from young to old, when they're little, you tell them something, they're like, cool. And then they're teenagers and they're like, are you really sure about that? That's why God says childlike faith. I don't think he says teenager-like faith. It's childlike faith, and we want to never outgrow that.
Awesome. Thank you. You know, if I could just maybe give a couple more pieces of advice. You know, learn to live for an audience of one. You know, I don't want to base my ability to hear on my need for Scott to admire me or to think good of me. And, you know, we all seem to have this issue, which is the second point is make yourself of no reputation. That has so much to do with your motives about what you hear. You know, that if you will live for an audience of one, and if you will make yourself of no reputation, then those won't be challenges to you, because even though I love Scott and I want him to admire me, I don't want my decision and my hearing to be affected by that. The scripture says that many Pharisees believed, but because they didn't want to get thrown out of the temple, they didn't follow Jesus because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God.
Come on. Yeah.
Watching the clock. And the other thing too, that, you know, kind of going through those phases, I was thinking about the people that he has used to speak through them to me. As recently as last time I was in church and Debbie prayed for me, Kelly, count it all joy, sister. If you ever take a problem to Kelly Beecham, be prepared for that answer, you know, especially if you're whining, because that'll be her answer. Count it all joy, sister. Yeah. Okay, I will, after I choke this person. You know, but that has just, I mean, it sticks in your heart. Mary Duquette has, you know, she knows she has free license with me. She counsels me sweetly and sternly in whichever direction I need it. Early on, I'm going to tell the story, Scott, without disclosing, Andy's starting to leave. We were young and married, and we had a lot of issues in our early marriage because we were young and married. And I was railing at home group. I mean, we had had a rough week, and I was so ready to go in because I'm thinking, I'm going to home group with all these Christian people. I'm going to tell everything he did all week, and they are going to just massacre him at his house, at Scott and Kelly's house. So I go in there, and, you know, I'm railing in my self-righteous position, and I railed, and I'm crying, and then I'm railing some more, and Scott graciously let me continue to dig my hole, and then looked at me when I finally calmed down and said, well, my, you've built quite an altar to that hate, haven't you? Nobody said a word to him. I was like, seriously. But the funny, but, you know, the amazing thing about that, though, is it broke something off for me. Later, Andy felt worse than if anybody would have railed on him, because I took the brunt of the rest of that home group. But, you know, it's other people also that have heard from the Lord on my behalf. And, man, I cherish those people in my life.
Yeah. Well, let's pray. Stand with me, if you will. Okay. Yeah. Can you just put your hand on your neighbor, somebody to your right or your left? Father, we pray for your blessings today, Lord, to be encouraged that, Lord, we're not expected to be perfect, but your voice, Lord, you're speaking to us. And God, when we hear and when we obey, Lord, it opens us up to a greater realm of your blessing, a greater realm, Lord, of faith. And so we're praying right now for our neighbor, for our friend, for this one, God, that they would trust that you know how to speak. Just like Andrea said, Lord, we're not going to get in anxiety of whether or not we can hear you. We're going to trust in your ability to be heard. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we don't want to do it for our glory. We want to do it, God, because we love you. We want to follow you. So bless our friend. Bless our neighbor. Today, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take the words of life that have been released here and breathe upon them in our heart. Breathe upon them and equip us and enable us, Lord, this week to capture and to activate and to utilize some of these things that we've heard, Lord, to better serve, to better follow, to better love, to better hear you. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Greg has an announcement he wants to make, and so here.
Thanks.
It's in the bulletin, but I did want to give a verbal announcement in regards to, if you look in the bulletin, we have partnered with Bun Capital, who is bringing in the, for Springfield, they're calling it Honest Abe's Care Fest. And basically, I was contacted a few months ago, and I invited a couple people from our church to go with me to the initial meeting. They have teenagers throughout the nation that go to somewhere between 6 and 8 different cities over the summer, and Springfield was picked one of them. Bun is kind of being the corporate sponsor. And what they do is they're anticipating about 430 teenagers that will be coming to Springfield the week of July 12th through the 17th. They go out and do home projects to people in need, free of charge. And if you look at the bulletin, I put the website, I encourage you to go to the website because it has pictures and that of these teens and what they're doing. But as a church, I want to encourage us. One of the things I'd like to do, we are going to participate and sponsor a photo booth on the last night kickoff to where the homeowners that had their houses worked on and the teens will be coming together. And so as a church body, we've done that. The other thing that I would really like us to engage and participate in is what they call Adopt-A-Site. And that's where they have about 70 projects in the Springfield area that they're going to be doing that week. They will have teams of anywhere from 6 to 12 at each home. And Adopt-A-Site would be us signing up, going out to the site, and engaging with these young people, taking them Gatorade, taking them ice cream, spending an evening with them, invite them to your home. Just use your imagination. But it's twofold. It's really going to impact these teenagers. And we had an opportunity to hear some testimonies from teenagers that went to other cities, how they were impacted by that city and the people who spent the time to engage in them. The other thing is there is a sign-up sheet, and I want to, as a church body, I want to get behind this, but it's also an opportunity for us. Sign up, and then as we get the sites that we will adopt, that we will participate in, pick someone in the church body that maybe you don't fellowship with. Partner up with them. I see it twofold. It's for us to grow in fellowship with one another, as well as really be a witness to these teenagers, not knowing where they're at in life, not knowing what they want. And I think it will really reflect strongly on what God's doing in our body and in the city of Springfield, and the impact that we have heard that they have on cities when these teens, when these campers come, is amazing. So look at the website, get some information. If you have questions, contact me, contact Ann. She's familiar with it, and that's all I got.
Okay, one final thing. If you have sickness in your body, pain, anything you need prayer for, I'm just going to invite you to come forward and sit on the front row here this morning. If you have to leave, you can go ahead and leave. God bless you. You're beautiful. But if you need prayer for your body, we want to be obedient to the word. And elders, believers, people who know how to pray. Look at that. It's not okay for God's people to hurt. I just want to ask you if just come.